This morning we're going to talk about the death of Christ on the cross. And what I would like for us to do is maybe outside of just the traditional viewpoint of Christ dying on the cross, maybe expound our thinking a little bit and look at some other things that very possibly could be associated with that death. In order to start, I think we have to start back almost to the beginning. So let's go to the Garden of Eden. Here's a perfect world created by a perfect God, and He puts two people in the garden who are perfect. Everything is great about this garden, except God comes along and says to Adam and Eve, "I want you to enjoy everything that I have given you," because that's the way God is. "But there's one tree that I don't want you to go near." Now let's analyze that. What was the reason that God put that tree in the midst of the garden?
To test them. Adam and Eve, to see if they would obey.
Thank you for that answer. To test them, to see if they would obey. What other options do we have? Yes?
They had a choice whether they would or would not.
Okay. Is that important?
Yes.
It is important?
Yes.
Okay. What other options?
If there were no choices, why would they have the power of choice?
Okay, so it's important that we give choices. Okay. What other options?
I think it was acknowledging the reality of evil and almost revealing his allowing that to be worked out or to go forward and then to see the results of it. I mean, you think about it not just being other, you know, I read about other planets, other worlds had the same opportunity to sin, and they hadn't, but they hadn't seen the whole thing worked out.
Okay. All right. What other options? So are you telling me there had to be a tree in the garden in order to have a test?
But there had to be something.
Okay, so let me rephrase that then. There had to be option A or option B.
Yes.
Had to be.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Now, I inherited children, so I had no children of my own. So now I need your help. At what age do we give children option A, you will live, and option B, go play on Interstate 30? What is that age that we do that?
16.
and at 16, do you really emphasize I-30?
About age 2.
2. All right. Now, where did sin originate? Would someone explain to me in heaven what was option number A and what was option number B? Was there a tree in heaven that God said to the angels, "Don't go near it"? Then what was option B in heaven?
Follow God.
Pardon?
Follow be on God's side, or some of the angels that decided to follow Lucifer. They followed Lucifer. And
what tree did they go to?
They would have gone to the the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I guess.
Okay.
Separation.
Do you believe that God is consistent?
Yes.
Okay. Then what? Now you just told me that we had to have a test in the Garden of Eden to see if somebody's loyal or not. What was the test in heaven to see if they were loyal or not?
Listen to me or listen to Lucifer.
What was the option? If we had to have an option in the Garden of Eden, then what was the option in heaven in order for sin to arise?
Well, what was Lucifer's option?
Pardon?
Let's go back to Lucifer. I mean, we say about Lucifer, What about Lucifer?
What was his option?
His option was to give back to God the love that he was giving from God and to keep it flowing.
It's really the same choice, to be in relationship with God or not. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Is it that simple?
Yep. Not simple at all. But it's that simple.
Then why a tree in the garden? Could sin have arose in the Garden of Eden without the tree?
Yes.
Pardon? I got a no?
Yes.
Then so then somebody has to tempt us in order for us to sin.
Lucifer, that's not true.
Well, hello there. How y'all doing? Good. Okay. So are you telling me that Lucifer didn't need something there to make a choice in order for him to sin or not sin?
Well, the concept is always there. Will you follow God or will you go your own way?
Okay.
That concept is always there, whether there's a tree or not, or whether there's anything else to happen.
Then why did someone tell me there had to be a tree there or something?
I think God made it concrete.
Pardon?
I think as a child, God made it concrete.
Okay.
You know, you need to clean up your room. Or this happens.
Okay.
That's concrete. I mean, you make it with children, you make it concrete. It's easy to choose yes or no.
Okay. Raylene?
Wasn't it kind of a limit on Satan? That was the only place he could actually go. So he was being limited and probably.
Why would God do that?
Protect Adam and Eve.
Because he said, I will be like God.
Okay. So, was God being unfair to Satan, or was God being fair to Satan when he put him in the midst of the garden? Pardon? Why would he do that? Okay. What was Satan's original charges against God? Unfair, arbitrary,
unforgiving,
exacting, rules with an iron hand. Satan said, what did Satan say to the angels that followed him? What did he offer them? Freedom. If I'm your leader, freedom. Pardon?
That was a big lie.
That's a big lie. But I'm going to show you that he got away with that big lie for 4,000 years, even to the angels that were in heaven, and even to the unfallen universe. That lie was there for 4,000 years. So it's easy to say, well, it was just a lie. The angels didn't accept that it was just a lie. God is fair. And so he allowed Satan to have a place in that garden where Satan could present what?
His
side.
His idea.
And then what did God do to His two children that any parent would do to their children that they loved and they cared for?
Warned them. You know what? He gave them consequences. If you do this, something will happen.
Okay. Exactly. God says, wants you to enjoy everything because that's the way God is. But don't wander over here because it's not for your best benefit. Did other worlds have the same premise? Maybe not same exact premise, but did they have the same premise where there was a point where Satan presented his side and God presented his side?
I believe that.
Absolutely. Do you have any insight on that?
It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is not a test of loyalty. We don't take our children and test their loyalty. We guide, we parent, we try to tell our children, if you do this, here are some consequences. But we don't arbitrarily set up test of loyalty to see what they're going to do when we're around. Or do we? I never have. Now, this lesson is on this next sentence is either going to make sense or be totally confusing. But then some people say I'm totally confusing anyway, so I don't know why I would declare this. Hello, John. How are you doing? What did God say the consequences would be if they followed and listened to Satan and ate of the fruit?
They will die.
You will surely die. Now, what did that mean?
I don't know what they knew what the word die meant.
Probably a very logical point. What did it mean that you shall surely die?
Out of the presence of God.
Pardon? No.
That you would not be in the presence of God.
Okay, that's the correct answer, but that's not the one normally given. Yes.
It probably didn't mean anything to them because there was never such a thing as death at that time.
Okay. Rob?
It meant something to the other worlds, though. The other worlds got that and made different choices.
Okay.
You know, in making that original statement understandable today, we've got to put it in language that we understand, but in the language they understood, it was, in dying, you shall die. That's literally what the word means. Mm-hmm. In dying, you shall die. So it was not just that there was going to be a physical.
Yes.
There would be an altar.
The process of dying would begin.
Right.
Big difference.
How did the angels have a clue what that meant either at that point?
Or the other world?
What's the answer? A good question.
They made a choice. I mean, if we go back to the original premise, we talked about choice.
Okay.
Somehow they got it.
Okay. What did they get?
The understanding of wanting to continue a relationship with God and to continue the love experience.
Okay. All right. Now, let's move on to another part, then we'll try to tie this together. What is the normal definition of sin?
Transgression of the law.
And what does that mean?
Doing something wrong. Not buying gifts on Saturday.
Sorry, Sue. Transgression of the law. Alright, I want everybody here, other than the King James Version, look up 1 John 3:4 if you have a different version other than the King James. Not that anything's wrong with the King James, but we know what it says. It says sin is the transgression of the law. I want different versions.
I have the Holman.
Okay? Just wait till everybody gets there, then let's go through these.
1 John 3:4.
All right, everybody found it in their Bible? Okay, what version do you have?
Holman's,
okay? Read what Mr. Holman says. First John 3:4.
Everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of the law.
All right, throw Mr. Holman out. Okay, who's the next one? Yes, what version?
American Standard.
American Standard. By the way, since I have my almost renowned Greek teacher here, this is the closest to the Greek, correct?
That's right.
That's right. All right, see what he says. This is close to the Greek.
Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
Now, what do you do with that statement? Because that's what the statement says. We'll come back to that one. Hold that. Who else has a different version other than these two? Yes, ma'am. Who? What version?
Message.
Message, okay. Paraphrase, but let's hear what they say.
All who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order.
Right on. Not bad at all. Got another version other than those three. Yes, Rachel. Which version? Okay.
Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawless.
Okay. Now, read the original, pretty close to the original Greek.
Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
Okay. What does the word practice mean?
To do it. To do it. Continue.
To continually. That's right. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
In other words, is it a one-time deal?
No.
No, it's a way of life. What does lawlessness mean? Pardon?
Without regard to law and
history. Okay. Could lawlessness be an attitude?
Yes.
Most likely it is. In the Old Testament, you've said this many times, and our Friday night meeting especially, what's the definition of sin in the Old Testament? What's the word that you use? Not lawlessness, but what?
Well, when it talks about the wickedness that
yes.
there is unrest.
Yeah, restlessness.
Restlessness.
In other words, if you have sin, wickedness, you're not restful, you're restless. You're always unhappy, you're always moving, you're always grooving. What is the difference between the known, ever since I've been 6 years old, I heard that sin is transgression of the law. And by the way, what law in 1 John is talked about over and over? No, sir, it is not the commandment law. What law is talked about in 1 John all the way through? The law of love. Remember, context is everything. All through that book it's talking about if you know God, you know love. If you know God, you will love your brother. Jesus said there's only two commandments, love God and love your brother. And John is talking about love. Then he comes along and says, if you practice sin, if your life is full of sin, that's the path you're going down, you're going to have lawlessness. Now, if you're in a state of lawlessness or rebellion, do you love God?
No.
Do you love your brother?
No.
Absolutely not. You see, we want to take and boil things down to, if we do this, we've sinned. Somebody read Romans 14:23. In fact, everybody go to Romans 14:23.
Doubts is condemned.
All right, read the last part, the last sentence.
For whatever is not from faith is sin.
Okay. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Somebody else, what other versions? What does Holman have if you have it there?
Whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith, and everything that is not from faith is sin.
Okay.
Before that, we're talking about wine.
Yeah, that's fine. What do you have? Self the same. Why don't we use that as the definition of sin versus 1 John 3:4?
It's hard to scare people.
But people want answers. They want to know, how do I know if I'm sinning? I mean, that's we tend to want something that we can hang on to.
That's exactly right. See, we want to know, and if we want to know how not to sin, or if we're sinning, then what does that become easy to do? Pardon? What? I didn't understand.
Judge.
And then if we're not doing it, we're okay.
That's right. Because we all want a checklist. We all want a checklist. So I can look at the checklist and said, man, I didn't buy Sue a card on her birthday on Sabbath, so I must be doing good. God never intended for us to be like that. Because rules without relationship result in rebellion. Now, what law was in heaven?
Law of love.
Law of love. Well, what in the world does that mean?
Stay in relationship with your Creator.
Probably the same thing that was the law here. First love God, and then love your fellow angels,
all right.
Yourself.
Now, here's a good question. What law is going to be in heaven for eternity after we go to heaven?
The same one.
Same what?
The same one that we are to love one another.
Well, how come you didn't say the Ten Commandments?
You think I shut down the morning? Oh, Arnie, you're missing the text. Says from one Sabbath day to another, so we all do this, and so we have through the years implied that in hereafter we'll be doing the Sabbath, even though we meet sometimes, but we still. Okay.
Will we do the Sabbath in heaven?
Yes, that will always be a memorial.
Memorial to what?
Creation.
Are you sure?
Getting together with a God we love.
Yeah. Just think how much God cares that He gave us a day to get away from everything and spend it with Him, our church family, our families. What greater gift could God give to people? But we have taken that and turned it around into an obligation. See, the reason we love 1 John 3:4 and misinterpret it per se from the original is if we believe that breaking the Ten Commandments is sin, then we can uphold the one truth we feel that separates us from most of the Christian world, and that's the seventh day Sabbath. We're compelled to uphold that day. Well, you've heard I've said it, Rob said it, but you've got to hear it again. When Christ came to this earth, was the seventh day Sabbath an issue to anybody in the Jewish nation? They had it down better than we'll ever get it down. And what did it do for them? Pardon?
They didn't see the Lord, I guess.
Well, they got so mad when the Creator of the universe healed the man on Sabbath.
Tied him up in knots.
Yeah. All they saw was the guy carrying his pallet. That's what happens when you focus on anything other than Jesus Christ. Now the question comes, with all of this said, I believe that there is only one sin, and that's when we choose to separate ourselves from God. He is our power. He is the one that gives us the power to follow Him. He is the one that calls us to follow Him. And when He is the source of our life. And when we choose to separate ourselves from Him, then we begin the dying process, which is a natural consequence of separating yourself from the life giver. If I flip this switch and electricity goes off, what have I done by flipping that switch? I've disconnected from the power. That's what happens when we persist on going to abound a path that leaves God out of our lives. And eventually, God says, I've done everything in the universe I can to show them how much I love them. I have to honor their choice. And in mercy, He takes away the source of life. In mercy. Because I guarantee you, a person left to the full revenge of the devil, death is mercy. Now comes the question of this lesson. Several have already come to me this week and asked how I was going to handle it. Well, I'm going to handle it very gently, as I always do. Why did Jesus go to the cross of Calvary?
To stamp out sin.
Okay.
Demonstrate what happens when this
separation occurs. Okay. Read a statement this week in preparing for prayer meeting that said one of the things that Satan works hard to do is to create the image of God as a stern judge. And we've done a tremendous, tremendous job of doing that. How many, in the past, how many of you were comfortable with Jesus, but not quite so comfortable with God? Why?
Well, in the Old Testament, God's seen in a harsh, pretty harsh. I mean, you know, raise your hand up and we'll wipe these people out, or, you know, okay, do these things.
Well, and if, in the past, we've been taught more Old Testament theology than we have anything else.
I think the most beautiful picture of God is in the Old Testament. I think the picture of God in the Old Testament is more beautiful than the four Gospels.
If you know how to...
If you search it and read it and understand... That's why it's important to understand, you shall surely die. What does that mean? If that's an arbitrary statement which says, if you hack me off, the automatic deal is death, which, by the way, most people interpret, then no wonder that picture of God is tough. And so we've created a picture of God's over here creating havoc. And by the way, who's our judge? God over here. And then who goes and explains to God who in the heck we are?
Jesus.
Well, why would you fall in love with the Father? Satan's one of his greatest deceptions is to create the image of God as a stern judge. Now let's look at this, why Jesus had to die. I know what most people say, that if there's sin, And death is a penalty, that somebody has to pay the penalty. Is that correct? Okay. Now, I got a question. I only ask fair questions. Now, are we correct that the most thinking is if somebody dies, somebody sins, in order to be forgiven, somebody has to die for the penalty of that sin?
For shedding of the blood.
For shedding of the blood. So some blood's got to be shed. However you want to phrase it. Are we correct in that? Alright? Is God consistent?
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Now I got a question to ask you. In heaven, did Lucifer and his angels commit sin?
Yes.
Do we all agree on that?
Yes.
By the way, if you have any sin, forget that. We'll move on to a different point. Don't want to get that deep. What was his sin? His sin was when he was in final rebellion. His sin wasn't when he first thought, I'm really jealous of God. See, that wasn't a sin. The sin was when he became so in rebellion, he would not change. Now, you just told me we've got to have shedding of blood. Somebody's got to die. What would have happened if Satan, and by the way, God went to Satan three different times, pleaded with him, cried with him, wept with him, showed him down the road the consequences of his actions. What would have happened if Satan would have said, I'm sorry. Just let me finish my question, please. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Forgive me. I'd like to come back and be part of the heavenly throne. And we're told that God would have put Satan right back in the same very position that he was in. That's the way God is. Now, do you see where I'm going?
Yes.
Where am I going?
You're going to, if you repent and decide to go God's way, He'll accept you.
No, He won't.
No.
Because what will God be forced to say? Somebody's got to die. You just told me that. There's got to be blood. You just told me that. God's consistent. God's consistent. Does that make sense? That he would have said, listen, I'm a man of principle. I'm a person of principle. There's justice and there's mercy. But where there's sin, there's got to be death. And in order for me to accept you back, somebody's got to die.
Hogwash.
I got a hogwash.
Hogwash too.
Hogwash 2.
Hogwash.
Hogwash 2. Would Jesus have had to have died?
That's my question.
I guess so.
For Lucifer.
Pardon?
Would Jesus have had to die for Lucifer if the sin had stopped with Lucifer? If Lucifer had decided...
If God's consistent, and there's got to be death... And Satan sinned. Oh, see, y'all don't like that one, do you? God says, Lucifer, I've cried with you, I've wept with you, I've put my arms around you, I've pleaded, you've come back, but now you've really created a problem for me because I've got to go kill my son so that I can bring you back into heaven. That's sickening. What society has a principle that if you do something wrong, the judge can pick out anybody he wants to die in your place. And we say, that is fantastic. Pardon? We're told that Christ went to Calvary. As much for the angels that were unfallen and the unfallen universes as He did for our universe. Now, explain the logic for that.
I think up until the cross, the unfallen beings kind of had doubt about God's character and His fairness. But until when Jesus died on the cross, it sealed the deal for them. They realized that God was fair in that.
Okay. Now, let's analyze what she said. She says that she thinks for 4,000 years of this earth's history, we don't know how much of the rest of the history, but at least the 4,000 years, that the angels in heaven that worshiped with God every single day of their life still doubted if God was correct or if Satan was correct. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying? How can that be?
I think up until the cross, they didn't have more clue of what He meant in the garden than you and I did.
And what does that say about God?
He was willing to demonstrate what He meant.
Can you imagine God worshiping with people that were sitting there saying, "We trust You." By the way, that's the key. We trust You. We're loyal to You. But man, we're just not really positive about our good buddy Satan.
Well, there's a difference between that and not fully understanding. I mean, when you're talking, use the analogy of a parent-child, you can say to a child, if you do this, this will occur, but that child sits there and doesn't have the understanding maybe until they have to see something or experience it. So I think they can worship and love and be in a relationship, but they may not have a full understanding that that is
That's right. Necessary. Did they see Satan, their good buddy, in the Garden of Eden? Did they see him lie? Did they see what caused the problems? Did they see Satan working so hard among men and bringing his deceptions and his deal that the world was so wicked that God in His mercy could only find 8 righteous people? One of them was a drunkard because he got drunk right after he got off the boat. The other one didn't cover him. So how righteous were these people? Did they say Satan walking around in the councils of heaven saying, everybody loves me, everybody follows me. And God had to say, well, how about my good friend Job? And Satan says, oh, well, you protect him. And God says, do anything you want, but don't take his life. Did they see the havoc that Satan created on that man? And they still didn't get it. It's unbelievable. But then how good are we at getting it? It's unbelievable. And finally, when spirituality, the religious world was at its apex, but it was the height of darkness on the character of who God was, Jesus sent His Son. And the whole universe watched. By the way, who was it that tried, that urged Herod on to kill all of those babies? And you tell me they didn't understand?
Think of the position God was in at the flood. Satan said, I told you He was going to...
Absolutely. God will run chances. And finally, Jesus went to Calvary. and the universe and the angels in heaven that were saved watched with horror as men nailed him to a cross and they lifted him up. And who was in the crowd yelling, killing, killing, crucify, do away with him? Who was that? Satan. And so, so now the universe had a very clear picture. Jesus, the one they loved, the one they worshipped, is on a cross saying, remember my mother. Thief says, remember me. And Jesus says, you have eternal life with me. And Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And what was Satan doing? Killing, killing, killing. Now the universe looked at the cross. Now, was Satan unmasked? And they are secure for eternity in their decision because they've seen a Savior and they've seen a deceiver. Both of them unmasked. And so throughout eternity, whenever anything comes up that could be a problem, the entire universe says, no, no, no. We know this God loves us. We've seen it. And what do with that picture? We come along and say, God's pardoned us. Jesus is our lawyer and He explains us to God. God had to give for 4,000 years object lessons all along to try to keep people to understand. But somewhere along the line, He wants us to mature. Somewhere along the line, He wants us to understand that there is only one decision in this world. Bob Dylan said it best, who will you serve? We serve the devil or we serve God. Look at the cross of Calvary. I look at the cross of Calvary, I don't see a person that went and died for my sins. I see a person that says, Ernie, if you proceed to go down a path other than with me, this is what will happen. And what was Jesus' last words? One just before that. My God, why have you left me? Didn't say, why are you killing me? Why are you torturing me? Why have you left me? That's what happens when we choose down the path that leads from God. I took my precious little 8-year-old granddaughter to Parks Mall here a while back. And so she wanted to play down in kind of an enclosed area. And when she wants to play, she wants to play. So I was sitting out front where you had to get by me, just not really paying a whole lot of attention. Every once in a while I'd glance over and make sure she's doing okay. Then all of a sudden I glanced over and I couldn't find her. Didn't see her. And I kind of looked and then I started kind of walking around, craning. Panic started coming in my heart. Oh my God. She's got to be here. but panic started coming into my heart. And if I couldn't have found her, I would have cried out loud, I would have made noises, I would have screamed, I would have done whatever I had to do to get everybody's attention, because if my granddaughter's lost, I've got to find her. What will God do to you if you're lost? He will do everything in His power to find you. And His final act was go to the cross of Calvary for the universe and said, now you'll see. Here's the one that hates you, wants everybody dead, and here's the one that loves you. That's what it took to secure the universe. Why isn't that enough for us to look at and understand that that love secures us? Why isn't that what we see at Calvary? Father in heaven, can imagine the sorrow you felt when Adam and Eve made choices that was not for their benefit. Unlike humans, Father, there was no panic, because before creation, you understood that the universe challenged the character of your Father. And you and the Son agreed that you would do whatever it took to give enough evidence of your love that anyone that looked to the cross of Calvary and accepted that precious gift of you caring would be enough to secure them for eternity. Thank you, Father, for the cross of Calvary. For there, it left no doubt of the hatred of Satan and the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.